Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Welcome, everyone, to the Dr. April Jasper Show. We are at the Florida Optometric Association, and I ran into some of my awesome friends, and they're going to tell you about themselves in a minute. But what I love about you guys is that you chose a career in optometry. You just finished your residencies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, last week.
Oh my gosh, and now you're home. So we got a lot to talk about. So let's start with you, Amanda. Tell them who you are and why you chose optometry, and then we'll go to your husband, Nestor.
Okay. So I'm Amanda. I'm a, at this point, second generation optometrist. My dad's an optometrist, as is his brother. But that's not entirely the reason I became an optometrist. It was more because of my husband. He decided he wanted to pursue
what?
A career in optometry.
Oh my gosh. So how did this conversation happen, Nestor? And tell him who you are.
So I'm Nestor Garcia, and I'm an optometrist. I just finished residency. We just finished residency 1 week ago. And my wife, Amanda, we're married. We've done optometry school together. Most people meet in optometry school.
Yeah.
We started optometry school already married. And then did had the fortune of doing residency together.
Wow.
Which is not a given at all.
Yeah.
But we had the fortune to do it together. And now we're back at home and ready to start working and start the rest of our lives.
And maybe start a family?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're
that's
telling
important.
The whole world? Woo! All right. So go back to why you chose optometry.
So when I grew up, I grew up in Cuba. I was born in Cuba, and I lived in there until I was 26 years old. So when I, in Cuba, I was a dancer, professional dancer. Classical ballet is what I did, and some contemporary. And when I came to the U.S., my goal was to get a real career, quote unquote, right? Real job, a grown-ups type of job. And because of all the physical training and learning about the body, my natural thing was physical therapy. I just wanted to do physical therapy. So I started working and got a GED because none of my transcripts worked
wow.
for anything.
Oh,
so
man.
I got a GED, started working on the prerequisites, and I met Amanda. In this process, she actually helped me to get the GED. We met very early on. And then I was working through my prerequisites. We become serious. I meet her father, and we become really good friends, me and her father. And at some point, her father tells me, look, the prerequisites for optometry and physical therapy are about the same.
Oh.
If you choose to do physical therapy because that's what you love, that's okay, but I cannot help you a lot. Now, if you were to decide to do optometry, I can help you a lot. I can guide you through the process. And I decided to do it right there, and then I said yes and thank you. Shifted my focus.
What? All right, wait a minute. So, Amanda, were you in the room when this was all happening?
Not really. Nestor just came to me later and was like, I think I want to do optometry. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
And were you thinking you needed to get a real job too?
No, I was very happy with my entertainment career. I really enjoyed it. But every time Nestor would take a class that I hadn't taken, I would take it with him. So I took like three of the prereqs with him just to keep my options open.
Wow.
My mom was with my dad when he went to optometry school. And she always said that she helped him study so much that she could have passed the boards.
Wow.
And so I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll do it just because if I'm going to have the knowledge, I might as well get the degree.
Yes.
Not,
just because.
Yeah.
So how did you tell her? Go, Nestor.
So her thoughts were, well, if he's going to do it, it cannot be that hard. I can do it too. So she just went in and did it with me and then excelled at it. And we both really fell in love very quickly with the profession. At the beginning, it was started to be a calculated type of thing, like making the right decisions, doing something that is the right thing for the future type of thing. But we quickly fell in love with the career of optometry and all we can do and all the good that we can do in the world. And the rest is history,
that's
right?
That's amazing. Did you speak English when you moved to the
U.S.? I thought I did.
He did.
I thought I did. In my mind, my English was awesome because people were very nice.
Yeah.
And they would tell me, "Man, your English is so good." So I would believe it until I actually had to speak it. And then I realized that I didn't know what I was saying.
Oh.
People couldn't understand my sentences. The syntax was all wrong, backwards.
But he was very confident in his
English. Very confident. And it used to bug him so much because we met teaching at the same dance studio. And at staff meetings, he would say something, and the entire staff would look at me, and I would translate. And he was like, that's just what I said.
I said that.
Why are they looking at you?
Oh, like, my gosh.
I speak good Nestor.
That's awesome, you guys. So tell me about school. You made the decision to go. Now you're in optometry school, and you are definitely different than everybody else because you're married.
And we're older.
Oh,
we are at least 10 years older than most of our regular classmates. There were a few people in our age group, but we're coming into this later in life.
Yeah.
It is a second career
right. For
both of us. Also, we're coming into optometry in 2020.
Wow.
So that was right at the height of the pandemic, and our first year was completely online.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot
that. We didn't
set
foot at school until our second year.
And I think one of the hardest parts for us was we went from careers in entertainment, where truly I saw Nestor, even though we lived together, maybe every 2 to 3 days, just because of our schedules. I would wake up while I would go to work. He was still sleeping. He would come home from work. I was already asleep. And then to start optometry school in a pandemic where everything's online and we spend like 12 hours a day side by side.
And our marriage still exists. So we did well. We're stronger for it.
Wow.
So literally side by side. We had a long desk, two tables that we turned into our working spaces. And we were literally
this far apart.
Far apart.
Oh,
for
my
a year,
gosh.
24/7. Stressed about the same exams at the same time. It's not like, you know, sometimes one in the couple is stressed and the other one is not. No, we were stressed at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
And we found ways to work through
it. Dancing.
Dancing definitely helped.
In the kitchen.
We did it all the time.
Yeah. So those of us who don't dance, we do imagine that people that dance like you guys, you must just dance all the time.
Not all the time, but probably more than people
that have no clue.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that, you guys. Are you cooking sometimes and you just do a little?
Yes. Yeah. We have one of those Alexa speakers in our kitchen. So one of us will randomly like turn on a song, and then a few songs later we'll dance for a little bit and then go back to cooking.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. That's what's going to keep you married right there.
Yes.
Keep dancing together. I always say keep praying together and keep dancing together would be what you say. All right. So let's go back to optometry school. There's a lot of students that are going to be watching and listening, and they're going to hear that you said you were stressed out that first year.
And the second and the third and
the
fourth.
Okay. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for them?
Just take it one step at a time. Every class is important. Just do everything. It's just one task on top of another.
Yep.
Don't look at the whole 4 years because that's overwhelming, but one day at a time, one test at a time.
Work hard, be consistent. Don't just work hard when you have a test because you have too many and they're all coming one after the other.
Yep.
Be consistent. Work consistently hard throughout and keep your eyes on the short-term goal. What is the next exam? What is the next exam? Like, the short-term goal will take you to the final goal. But that until you get to boards, and then you have to plan ahead.
Yeah, but coming to boards, I would say try to learn it the first time so that when it comes to boards, you're not learning something new. It's just like dusting off cobwebs.
You're reviewing, not relearning.
Yeah.
That will, if you put the effort up at the beginning,
right,
when things seem like a bit crazy and in the air, put the effort to learn it the first time around so that the second time around when you're reviewing for boards, you're doing that. You're reviewing. You don't have to relearn things that,
yeah,
concepts that you need.
Did you guys do review classes? Is that a thing? I mean,
yes.
It's been a long time since I took boards, so help me out.
Yeah, so there's quite a few different ways that people review. We did pretty much only KMK. At the time, Nova provided like a portion of it for us to all the students. And then we only wanted to take it once.
Yes.
So we said, we're just going to invest a lot of money in this one program and use it to its fullest. It came with like 6 different practice tests. We did all of them. And we would set a timer to like wake up at 8 a.m., do everything the way we thought that the board's exam would go, to try to make it as real
as possible.
Wow,
that is good.
And I mean, we only use KMK as one of these systems that are out there to train you, but half of our studying was KMK and the other half was our class notes.
Oh.
We didn't just use KMK. We definitely dug deeper
right
into the with the class notes to help. What KMK did, and I think they did that very well, was guiding us on what to study when.
Right.
To
like
make
making
it seem
an
more
schedule
approachable.
For us.
Oh, that's
and make
good.
It make it definitely more palatable, more approachable.
Okay.
You gotta start early and you have to start studying consciously. Like it's not just reading a book
right.
or having a book open nearby. Like you gotta be active, you gotta work hard. But I mean it's meant to be difficult, if not everybody will do it.
Right.
It's meant to be challenging.
Yeah.
Is you're learning to take care of people's vision. You're learning to take
sure.
care of people's eyes. So, you know, take it that seriously and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
86% of people with dry eye cases are MGD related, but only 16% of the people, I guess, seek treatment. What are their options?
I think what happens is, in my experience, again, 30 years of doing this, is that patients just try to self-medicate. And so then you go into what is another option that we have that we can do in office for patients to alleviate their symptoms and clear this problem. And that's where Tixalai comes into play. So
tell us about it.
Yeah, what's wonderful about it is an FDA cleared device that allows this thermomechanical action to actually go to the root cause of the problem, those meibomian glands, and be able to help patients to go back to a normal secretion of oils, thereby helping them to have better eye comfort and alleviate their dry eye symptoms.
I think a benefit to us being married, going through school that we didn't realize at first, especially because of the pandemic, was every time we would meet people virtually, because everything was virtual, they would all say, wow, you have a study partner, like you have someone to study with. And it really was super helpful because we would quiz each other out loud throughout all of optometry school. There was always someone I could ask a question for or challenge or...
And she will make her own set of questions and I will make my own set of questions and then I will ask her my questions, she will ask me her questions.
Wow.
Type of thing, like she will be in the couch there and I will be here and I ask her a question and then she asks me, like, that's how we will prepare for exams, all of them, including boards, including all 3 boards.
Incredible. So do you give that young man, Greg Aker, any credit for where you guys are today?
So much credit. Absolutely. I did not realize how smart my dad was until I went to optometry school. I would ask him the hardest, like, concepts that just confused the heck out of me, and I had no idea what to do. There is not a single question I asked him that he didn't know the answer to.
Wow.
Which is...
That's incredible. All right, you guys, so I got a few more questions. You decided after school to do a residency. Why?
Well, I really enjoyed school, and I wasn't quite ready to stop learning yet. But also, a lot of people would say, but your dad's an optometrist. Why are you doing a residency? So he went to some of his colleagues who had children who went through optometry school and said, what are your thoughts? Should my kids do a residency? Should they not? And for the most part, everyone said, it's going to put them further ahead. They're going to come out ready to go.
Yeah, that's good.
So that
and
was...
you didn't do the same residency.
We did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yes, we did the same residency. In my... from my side, I wanted to do more. I wanted to dig deeper. And I knew it was going to prepare me better to hit the workforce.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to be more prepared. I knew I was going to feel more comfortable, which I do. And definitely it was a challenging time, but it was a fantastic time. I Yep. Learn a lot. I make friends and connections that will be there for the rest of my life.
That's right.
Doing a residency open doors for you that you didn't even know existed.
Right. That's good.
It makes you a lot more marketable and a lot more valuable in the job market. You come out of residency and you can choose where you want to go.
Right. Yeah, and your confidence level is going to be completely different. So my residency was at a VA hospital, and I had no idea how confident I was going to be. I mean, I was nervous my first day seeing patients alone, but I also knew that there wasn't much I was going to see that I hadn't seen before. And also, you then have those people you can call on. All your friends at residency, your instructors, your preceptors, you can call any of them, and they'll be like, Amanda, you got this.
Yeah.
So it's good.
That's probably what they will say. Nestor, but Amanda got it.
Oh, no. Not at all. All right. One last question, each of you. You ready for this?
Okay.
And I told them earlier, you guys, that they're a little young for me to ask them this question, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So, Amanda, what is one thing you would tell your younger self, a piece of advice you would give your younger self? And I know you're not that old, so it might be hard. But is there anything you would say?
A piece of advice would maybe, and something that I should take
today
is just don't take things quite so seriously.
I love that. Did she say the right thing, Nestor? Would you tell her that too?
Absolutely. I tell her all the time. But for me, to my younger self, will be keep working hard. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
Keep working hard. You're doing okay. You're going to end up precisely where you're supposed to be.
That's right. Oh my gosh, you guys. So here's my advice to you. You are doing exactly what you were meant to do. I mean, you're going into dad's practice, which is incredible. And I know he must know this. The best thing he ever did was not say, oh, come on, you have to move into my practice. Instead, he just said, well, I can help you. Yeah, yeah. See?
I will guide you through the process.
Exactly.
I will guide you, which is exactly what he's done.
Yep.
He's guided us at every step of the way with every question. Academical questions and otherwise, life choices and how to do them and what to do and what is important now and what is important later.
What has Nestor done for you? Walk me through it. I mean, you two are an amazing couple.
What has he done for me? Everything.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Everything. So every single morning when we wake up, he makes me coffee. He
sounds familiar.
He gets upset if I make my own coffee. I'm like, I have two arms. He's like, no, but that's my job. He calms me down because I'm very prone to unnecessary stress. He helps feed me and make sure that I'm just a more tolerable human. I'm much better with him than I am by myself.
Nestor, what does Amanda do for you?
Amanda has done everything for me. I met Amanda very soon after I came to the U.S. And she's the reason why I've done all this. Yeah. She's the reason why I got my GED. She helped me navigate the process.
Oh,
she's the reason why I started taking college courses.
Wow.
She guided me through
I'm
the process.
I'm very good at being a thorn in someone's side.
She, you know, but guidance, you know, and her family. Like welcoming me with open arms.
Yep.
When I had literally nothing.
Yep.
But welcoming me with open arms and guiding me through the process. And I mean, I wouldn't have been here without her. I wouldn't be here without her. Like, I don't know. I'd be probably working at McDonald's or something. Teaching ballet, probably.
There you go. Here's what you need to remember this moment forever. It'll be recorded, so you can go back and watch it if you want to when you have any moment of, what am I doing? But remember this moment forever, because it truly is who you are, and you are so good together. That's why I wanted you to say that. And I want people to know it's great to have a partner, and it's great to have a partner in practice. You guys paved a path that nobody's taken. Well, I'm sure maybe somebody somewhere. I doubt it. You've been very unique and what you've done, and such a great example for others. So keep up the good work, and just thank you for also being a part of this amazing profession and wanting to give back and be involved. You've always been at the FOA as students. So, I mean, just setting an example. And I'm a lot like you. Can I just tell you, Amanda?
Yeah.
That man behind the camera, he has to calm me down. He gets up and makes me my coffee.
Uh-huh. That's our job. That is our job, right?
And he's the one that takes... I get so... I don't want to say anxious, but just, you know, I think about everything a million times, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And he helps me, just like you, Nestor, with Amanda, just kind of say, it's okay. It's okay.
It'll be okay. We're going to work through this one as well.
That's right. I love you guys. You know that. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.